You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, a warm welcome to all you lovely Jubileers, and a special warm welcome if you're a visitor to Jubilee this Christmas. I want you to know how glad we are that you're here with us. Well, some like to know the title of a message, and if that's you, I've called this message Bursting Bubbles. Now, I'm not suggesting we should ignore the government COVID advice on bubbles and burst them. We all might want to burst bubbles at this point. But in this pandemic, bubbles have been a useful way of preventing the spread of virus and protecting the vulnerable. So I'm not suggesting we ignore that. But instead, I want to suggest that this Christmas, Jesus can burst into our bubbles with wonderful effect. To do this, I want to talk about a single verse in the Christmas story. In fact, a single word within that verse. It was actually a promise made by the prophet Isaiah a long time earlier when he said, "A young woman will be with child," that's Jesus, "and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And the powerful little word I want to talk about is the word "with." Not God above us, or God distance from us, or even God all around us, but God with us. And the reason why it's so powerful, this little word, is that right from when we are little, we know that part of being alive is being alone. And no one wants to admit to being lonely, do they? Nobody wants to be the little child sitting alone in the cafeteria. There was a classic film in the 90s called Forrest Gump, and in it there's a moving scene when Forrest gets onto the school bus and nobody wants him to sit next to them, even though they have empty chairs alongside them. Everybody says the seats are taken, and you can feel Forrest's pain in that moment. And a little girl called Jenny says to him, he can sit next to her, and then he's not alone anymore. He's with somebody. At that moment, Jenny's like an angel to him. It's a wonderful moment in the scene. And usually Christmas is all about being with, isn't it? Being with friends, being with family, being with people at Christmas parties. Yet this COVID Christmas, with has got tricky, hasn't it? Which three households? How are we going to make it all work? For many, it's just seeming overwhelming. We've even had to make our carol service a drive-in so we can sort of be with other people celebrating Christmas. Being with people on Zoom is not quite the same, is it? We want to be with people, to have arms and hugs and a physical meeting. How we want these COVID bubbles to burst. How we look forward to the summer, we hope, when we won't have to be in bubbles anymore. But even on a normal year, Christmas can be difficult for some. We can look at Facebook or Instagram and wish our Christmas was as perfect as theirs, even when really we know the images uploaded are some distance from the reality of people's lives. For a lot of people who've gone through loss or breakup or illness or depression or can't have kids or looking for a relationship or some other reason that they don't even know, Christmas is often a lonely time. Perhaps that it is for you. But there's a type of loneliness that is so deep that no other mere human being can take it away. Some of the greatest thinkers of the last century suggested that loneliness was just a reality of life. Jean-Paul Sartre, the philosopher, said that the reason we're lonely is that we are meaning-seeking beings living in a meaningless world. Recently, or a few years back, the biologist Richard Dawkins wrote that the reason we're lonely is that the universe offers no design, no purpose, no hope, just blind, pitiless indifference. Oh, what a phrase. Well, I want to say that the story of Christmas is a claim that things are just not that way. It's a story that shows us that we're made by God and that God actually hates loneliness. God says it's not good for people to be alone. God doesn't want anybody sitting at the table by themselves at the cafeteria. In fact, the central theme in the Bible is that God has a desire to be with people. Throughout the Old Testament, God intervenes so his people know he's with them. All that through the Old Testament, you see that, but it's almost as if all of that isn't enough to satisfy God. And finally, he says, I'm going to go down and be with these people myself. And that's Jesus. That's Christmas, when the biggest, almost unbelievable miracle of all is also the smallest. When God causes all of his person, all of his presence, all of his majesty, all of his power to be condensed, to be compacted into one fragile, frail little human body. And he goes down to earth to be with people, starting with a girl called Mary in a stable. And then because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that word with becomes Jesus' signature word, his keynote, his withness, is his motive. If you know much about him in the Bible, from in the Bible, you see at the beginning of his ministry, we're told Jesus takes a motley group of fishermen and tax collectors, ordinary people. And then if you read Mark 3:14, it says he appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him. That word again, with. Later, we're told that the authorities were so struck by the power of those first followers of Jesus, it says in Acts 4 that when they realized these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that they'd been with Jesus. It's that word again. We read Jesus with beggars and lepers and foreigners and prostitutes, enemy soldiers. At one time, his accusers called Jesus a friend of sinners, and they intended it as an insult, but for him it was a great compliment. He loved being with people, all sorts of people. Not just the good religious people, but all sorts of people. And I suppose in the end, that little word with got Jesus killed. He was hanging out with the wrong sort of people, scandalous people, people who weren't good enough for the religious authority. So they hung him on a cross and he died, but 3 days later was resurrected. And one of the most beautiful and profound things he says before going to heaven, in fact, the last promise Jesus makes to his friends, is this, from Matthew 28, verse 20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of time. That little word that with gets in that final promise. I am with you, Jesus says. But often people wonder, how is Jesus with you if he's not present in a bodily form? Well, being with somebody is much more than just a physical proximity. In fact, some people can have their bodies at the same table with you, but their presence, their attention, their souls are a million miles away. We call these people husbands. Well, some people do. No, that's not right. What Jesus is saying when he says he will be with us always is that having become human that first Christmas and then having died and resurrected, he's no longer restricted by a body like you and I are. So he can be present with anybody at any time, and he can be with you and in fact wants to be with you. And that's the personal message of Christmas. That's Jesus's message to you today. Whatever the state of your bubble, Jesus wants to burst in and be with you this Christmas. Whether you know him or not, he wants to be with you. Try this in the morning when you wake. Just say this, be with me, Jesus, and he will be. He can be with you in your thoughts, with you when you go to work, with you with your family. He can be with you in your pain. He can be with you in your hopes. He can be with you through other people, particularly the least, the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the orphaned, the few bank queue. Jesus is found there. The sustaining power of the unseen presence of God has been through the ages something that's made the weak strong and the deathbed a place of triumph. It's brought hope to people in their old age. It's brought courage to those who are desperate. It's brought freedom to those who are addicted and couldn't find freedom in any other way. And it turns out that our loneliness is a kind of a clue about who we really are. Just like our hunger shows that we're meant to eat and our thirst shows we're meant to drink, our loneliness shows that we're made for God, to be with God. There's an old Beatles song called Eleanor Rigby that asks that haunting question, all the lonely people, where do they come from? Well, the answer is they're people who live apart from God, who wants to be with them and love them. The Apostle Paul describes it like this in Ephesians 2. He says, they are people without hope and without God in the world. And the good news of Christmas is you don't have to go through life that way. You can ask Jesus to be with you this Christmas. Christmas is a great time to ask. You can ask Jesus to forgive you for the wrong stuff and the stuff that you're embarrassed about, the sin, the flaws, the things that make us ashamed or make us hide from other people, make us feel isolated, make us feel lonely. And he can give you a fresh start, knowing forgiveness, knowing freedom, knowing joy. Maybe it's the first time this Christmas you ask him that. Maybe you are a Christian and you've known him, but you've drifted away from him and Jesus has seemed distant for some time. Well, you too can begin all over again this Christmas with him right now and make space to be with him now in your everyday life. It's very ironic that as modernization increases, poverty, illiteracy, disease are all going down, but guess what? Loneliness is going up. We're more connected than ever, and yet more lonely than ever. Mother Teresa, the courageous nun who vowed to give her life to the wholehearted free service to the poorest of the poor, said this: the greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It's being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases, she says, with medicine. But the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, she says, but there are many more who are dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different sort of poverty. It is not only a poverty of loneliness, but also of spirituality. There's a hunger for God. There's a hunger for love and there is a hunger for God, she says. Did you know that there is actually a government minister of loneliness? As this issue was so important, the government had identified it. It's currently held by the Baroness, and it's a position was set up in 2018 by Theresa May following a commission into loneliness initiated by Jo Cox. And during this pandemic, I've found the loneliness that I've seen so desperately sad. People stuck indoors, isolated. The loneliness in hospitals where COVID means people can't be with their sick relatives. And it's not just the older folks. Recent research the last couple of weeks shows that actually older people can be more resilient. And it's actually the 20s that are feeling the loneliness at this time. It's been a painful time in our bubbles. And I think in all this, many people are asking, where is God in it? and are asking different sorts of questions. And so next year, we're wanting to go through some of those questions, explore those questions together. On Sundays, we're looking to specifically address the real questions people are asking. We're also looking to run an Alpha course, which is a brilliant way for people to just ask questions about how does God be with us in our everyday lives. Hopefully you can benefit from some of those. It's been a painful time in our bubbles, but the Christmas message I want to share is that Jesus can burst in. He can burst into our bubbles. And you can get help to be with Jesus. How? Well, because there's another with promise right in the middle of Matthew's gospel. Jesus says that whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. There's that word again. Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. Now that's an amazing promise. He wants to be with people, but he also has a plan for loneliness. And his plan is that those of us who follow him would create a community, a kind of family that would embrace anybody who needs to be loved. That's what we want to do at Jubilee. Because God hates it when anybody sits alone in the cafeteria. When two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I am with them. When tragedies come, when a family loses a child or an old person battles an illness or somebody loses a job or somebody goes through a divorce or somebody feels rejected, even in those times, nobody stands alone. We can be for each other. And in doing so, find Jesus with us. Wow. At its best, church is family, and Jesus is right there in the middle of it. And this Christmas, he is very good news. So this is the message of Christmas. God and sinner reconciled, Emmanuel, God with you, if you want, bursting into your bubble to bring love and light and love. Would you pray with me? If you want to, you could ask him to be with you right now, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Simply pray, Jesus, would you forgive my past, my regrets, my flaws, my brokenness, the mess that I've made, and would you give me a new heart and a clean start? That's all you need to pray. Ask him to be your saviour, your leader, and he will do that for you. He loves to do that for people. Jesus, I thank you that you're here right now with people. And I just pray for every need of every person listening. I pray for every aching or broken or empty heart. I pray for every person, young or old, would know Emmanuel, God with them this Christmas. I pray this, Jesus, in your name and ask that in this holy moment, Heavenly Father, that you would receive our worship. You would receive our wonder, our adoration and praise, and that you would shower those listening with hope and love this Christmas. Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, happy Christmas. That's the message this year, I believe, that God wants to be with you, burst into your bubble. If we can help you in any way on that journey, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Happy Christmas. Hopefully see you in the new year.